Pastor Jason Cooley here with OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. And I am back again with Brother Jim.
Hey, brother. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, brother. It's good to have you. You got some fancy headphones on there. You're looking way more professional than me here with my lack of headphones. Brother Bicey told me you ought to wear your headphones. And I don't have my headphones plugged in, so I'm probably going to get in trouble, and hopefully I'm not too loud for everybody. I may have to back up
from
that microphone, but as long as I'm not blasting you out, maybe I won't be blasting everybody else out. And I'll back up in case I start yelling too loud. So, but anyway, it's good to be with you, Brother Jim, and we're going to talk about Halloween.
Amen.
You know,
very timely,
very timely. It is. And, you know, here's the thing that we're, you know, we want to talk about this. And really the title of this show is How to Handle Halloween.
Right. Amen.
And, you know, we want to bring you this to help you, to be a blessing to you. And you might be let me tell you how this show applies to you. Maybe you've been saved for a really long time. If you have, amen. That's wonderful. But maybe you don't know how, maybe you've never taken the proper stand that you're supposed to take. Maybe you've never done that before. So we want to help you to give you some ammunition, so to speak, to give you some direction and some instruction on how to handle this and maybe how to stand up for what's right. Number two, maybe you're a brand new baby Christian and you have never had to face this before, this issue. How do I handle Halloween? What do I do? What should I do? And how should I handle these things? And, you know, how do I go about dealing with my children? Maybe you have children that, you know, that you have to introduce the truth to about Halloween. You've been partaking in Halloween and everything, and you don't know how to deal with that. Maybe you have grandchildren and you want to try to tell them the truth about Halloween. And maybe you have friends and loved ones that are participating in Halloween and want you to participate in Halloween, yet you understand, or maybe you don't understand, but you're going to understand today, and then it's like, okay, so what do I do with this information?
Yep, amen.
You know, Brother Jim, let me ask you this question here. In your experience with this, when you find out the truth about some things, about holidays, about other things, what usually happens with new Christians and people that find out truth? How do they usually deal with things?
Well, usually they're very zealous, you know, because the Holy Spirit's done a work in their life. And, you know, once you see the need for salvation and the Lord grants you repentance and you repent and turn to God, you know, your spiritual eyes are open and you just see all these things that you never saw before. And you obviously see wickedness as exceedingly sinful and exceedingly wicked. So you very appropriately want to react to that. And, you know, you preached a message, about a vengeance against sin. And that is a very normal response for a new Christian to just despise and hate sin. And even, especially something that's the embodiment
of evil.
Evil and Satanism. I mean, that is Halloween. So obviously you're going to be very forthright about it and very forceful about it. You know, I kind of compare it to patriotism. You know, I was a very, very patriotic person. You know, saluted the flag. You know, I would cry at these emotional ceremonies regarding our military and, you know, all these inspiring and moving and emotional stories, which is kind of all part of the manipulation. So, you know, I now see, patriotism in respect to America as idolatry. You know, we're really seeing it now with the NFL and all these different things and the flag and people protesting the pledge, you know, but you learn something like, hey, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance was written by a communist, you know.
Socialist,
Socialist, communist.
A defunct Baptist pastor, socialist.
Exactly. And that just plays into the whole thing of how we've been manipulated for so long, you know, and that was written so long ago. And once you start to see these things, you become, you know, you're like, wow. And I think a lot of the hatred about it is like, man, I was manipulated. Like, I was manipulated for a long time. So, you know, now that I'm not mainstream patriotic, I'm not going to go around blasting people that are and like, oh, you flag worshiper and all these people in the military, all they do is murder babies and all this stuff, you know. But I'm going to approach them kindly, you know, and say.
Or it's just like the whole, yeah, it's like the whole cops are evil thing. That
yeah,
all
exactly.
Cops, and you treat all cops like they're the Antichrist or something.
Exactly.
That's not a balanced approach to anything.
No.
You know,
it's like all the military, they're all baby murderers. You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's just not true. No. And what I've seen with that is it really, you know, I've seen people talk about they have ministries that are full of grace and truth. And I've seen those ministries. And then I see them attacking U.S. soldiers as if they're, you know, the Antichrist, all
exactly.
of them.
Yeah.
Now believe me.
Yeah, there's no exceptions to the rule. They're all just inherently evil, wicked, and devil possessed.
And like all cops are just complete. You know what? I've had cops save my rear end before out there when I was preaching in the streets, and the sod mobs come after you, the crazy people come after you. I've had cops literally defend me, defend our men, defend our right to stand up. And I have videos out there thanking police for that. So for somebody to take a stand like that against all military and treat them like, you know, and everybody that says that, look, I do not say the Pledge of Allegiance. We do not say that in the church house. We do not.
Amen.
I don't think you're an idolater or a wicked, you know, heathen because you do. I don't agree with it, but I don't go to the point of saying, you know, everybody, you put everybody in this box online. There's like this. You put everybody in this box, and it's like, after you do it, there's like nothing they can do to get out of that box. They're just stuck there, and everybody's all alike. And when you have conversations with people, you find out very quickly that's not the case. That's not true. Not everybody who celebrates Halloween is actively pursuing the devil.
Yep. Yeah, amen.
You know, and that's one thing that you need to understand.
Yeah, it's even like the conversations I have about repentance, you know, and there are people that some people would think are obviously diametrically opposed to our position, our biblical position on repentance. But when I take the time to talk to them, and I will even start the conversation by, listen, when I start to explain this to you, you're going to initially resist it. And you're going to think that it's this, but if you allow me to explain it from scripture, and I honestly believe, if you're being honest, you're going to agree with me. And they do.
Yeah.
And they do. And you don't have to go after them and slice their face off.
And I've had people, I've seen that too before online, where somebody accused me of a position on repentance that was absolutely nothing like I taught. And I remember David Icke saying, well, he doesn't believe that. He believes exactly what you said over here. So, and that guy said, oh, well, I thought he believed that. Well, you thought, but you don't know. And you just accused him of something that he believes the same thing you do.
Yeah. You know? Oh, and hey, it comes down to this current events, you know, with all this racial schisms with Indians and all this stuff, you know, immediately, oh, you're the white man and all this. It's all the same thing. It's divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to split us all up and put us in little boxes and, you know, manipulate us.
Exactly. So what we want to do with this teaching is we're going to show you what Halloween is. Now, this is not exhaustive. This is from a tract that we wrote, okay, that our church wrote. So it's not exhaustive by any means. We're not trying to be exhaustive with it, okay?
Right.
I have teachings out there. There's a sermon called Halloween or Hallowed Be Thy Name. That'll give you a lot more in-depth information, and it'll deal with a lot more of those things. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is just to introduce you to this and say, okay, this is the way it is. Okay. This is what it is. This is what it's been used for. Okay. and this is how you handle it.
Right. Practical approach, practical application.
Exactly.
Real world, real scenario stuff.
That's just it right now. That's what we want to do. We want to help you right where you're at, you know, right in the situation that you're in, and hopefully teach you some good, strong biblical lessons. The Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So that's what we want to do. We want to help you with that. So we're going to get started here. And, you know, we'll start with this. Anton LaVey had this comment. He said, after one's own birthday, the two major satanic holidays are Walpurgisnacht, that's May 1st, and Halloween. That's what he said, Anton LaVey, in his Satanic Bible. Yes, you read that right. Halloween is one of the most important days in the lives of Satanists, witches, and other members of occult groups around the world. You might ask yourself, why this day of seemingly harmless fun, costumes, candy, and ghost stories would be so revered by these groups? To answer this question, we must look at its origins. Halloween has its origins in the festival of Samhain, practiced among the Druids of ancient Britain and Ireland. Samhain and its ceremonies long precede Christianity. The night of this festival is believed to be the night during the year in which ghosts and witches were most likely to wander about. Souls of the dead were believed to return to visit their homes, and those who had died during the year were believed to journey to the other world. In other words, on this day, the Druids, like modern-day occultists and Wiccans, believed the veil between our world and the spirit world, as it is its thinnest. Because of this, it was believed that this period was also favorable for divination, telling the future by means of spirits, on important matters and obtaining more occult power. This is why Halloween is so important to Satanists and witches, and they believe it is to their benefit when the masses participate in it as well. Now, I'm going to stop there. Brother Jim's going to read the next part of this, but let me just say this to you. That's from Britannica, the Encyclopedia Britannica, on Hollywood, okay? On Halloween. Hollywood. That's another
Hollywood,
story.
Halloween.
Sorry. It's all the same.
Satanists, witches.
Yeah, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. But anyway, basically, this is not a Christian publication. This is just Britannica telling you the truth of the history of it. Now, we could go in depth and get into the gory things and all that kind of stuff, and we're not looking to do that today, okay? We don't need to do that. That's not important.
Amen.
You know, what's important is that you understand how to deal with it. So that's the beginning of it here. To understand, first of all, Anton LaVey understands full well that he said the same thing about television. He's
right.
Like, you know, I never let my kids watch television. What are you, insane? Yeah. I don't want them programmed.
That's right.
You know, He wanted to program his way, you know.
Right.
But anyway, so get that understanding there. That's the first part of it. And, you know, that's a little bit of the history. You go on and go ahead and keep reading, Brother.
Sure, brother. Nearly all the traditions observed on Halloween have their roots in this pagan festival. For example, the Druids would wear masks and other disguises to avoid being recognized by the spirits they believed were present, which is likely the origin of dressing up in gruesome costumes. By partaking in Halloween, you are literally learning and doing the way of the heathen. God's word warns, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, Jeremiah 10:2.
Let me stop you there just for a second. And, you know, the Bible tells us very clearly that we're not to follow after heathen practices. We're to be careful about those, especially those that are dealt with in their worship. You know, in Jeremiah, that chapter is speaking of holiday, talking about trees, dragging a tree from the forest,
right,
and, you know, decking it with silver and gold.
And that's another radio show.
That's another one. And we've talked about that extensively before, too, as well. But anyway, so that's an admonition. That's a warning. So if you're taking notes, here's the first thing I want you to think, or the second thing I want you to think about. First, you understand the history of it. Second, now the biblical principle, which supersedes even the history of it. The biblical principle that we would be breaking if we celebrated Halloween is what? Learning the way of the heathen.
Yeah, amen. and practicing it.
Yeah, and practicing the way, learning it and practicing it.
Yeah.
Okay? So you go ahead and keep going, brother.
He gives this warning because the way of the heathen always has been and always will be an abomination in the sight of the Lord. Thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found any, there shall not be found among you any that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Deuteronomy 18:9-12.
Now let's talk about that for a second, because we'll give you like a modern definition of these. Brother Jim, what's the modern definition of divination?
That's fortune telling, or someone that attempts to tell the future.
Exactly, fortune telling. So that's what you now. What's an observer of times?
That would be an astrologer or somebody that
studies the stars.
Yeah.
Yep. To look at the future, right? What's an enchanter?
That would be a witch that casts spells on people.
That's right. Or a charmer, which is a supernatural influence, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Or a consulter with familiar spirits. What would be familiar spirits in Halloween? What would we call those?
Yeah, ghouls and ghosts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or a necromancer. What's a necromancer?
Somebody that talks to the dead.
That's right. That's right. They call up the dead. They speak to the dead, right? And God strictly forbids that. So the second principle, okay, that we see here that's very important is not to learn after the abominations of those nations. Those things that God hated, God doesn't want us to follow those things.
Yeah, amen.
He doesn't want us to be involved with those or to mimic those.
Right.
We should not model ourselves, pattern ourselves after these things. These are things that are an abomination to the Lord. And we do not want to participate in anything that is an abomination to the Lord.
Amen.
These are specifically called abominations. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, as a Christian, the ultimate aim of man or of any Christian should be to glorify God.
Amen.
And this is literally the inverse of that. This is the exact opposite of that. This is glorifying, or even maybe not glorifying, but just looking at literally satanic elements in a light-hearted manner. I mean, that's how the sods have taken over. You know, they started out, it was the funny little sod guy on TV, and now they're running the show.
Isn't that how Satan operates? Is it not a little one?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's, and then, Brother Jim, what's the third principle we see here? We had the second one. Now there's a third one you're about to talk about.
Halloween glorifies everything that God abhors and calls evil. He wants us to have nothing to do with these. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 tells us, abstain from all appearance of evil.
So it's not even just the evil. It's the appearance of evil. Now listen, let me help you with something. I know when you go out there and you dress up like a ghost and your kid dresses up like a pumpkin head or a ninja turtle or something like that, I understand you are not attempting to glorify Satan. Right. I know that you're not committing blood sacrifices and worshiping the devil purposely in your heart.
You're not trying to summon
that. Right. We know you're not trying to summon devils. Right. We know that you think you're playing and having fun. Right. I understand what you think, but I also understand what God has commanded. And God said to abstain from all appearance of evil. So the third principle that you break with that is that you are not abstaining from all appearance of evil.
Amen.
So you've broken three principles there to celebrate Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a Christian, you should never step over, you know, the Bible talks about if you break down the hedges, the serpent's going to come through and he's going to get you.
That's right.
And, you know, we definitely don't want that to happen to you. And we want you to be educated and understand that, you know what? You're not going to find a verse that says thou shalt not partake in Halloween.
Right.
but you don't have to. If you have the biblical principles and the commands to abstain from all appearance of evil and to abstain from these things and not to even from the appearance of these things.
Yeah. Amen.
Nobody's saying that you're a witch.
Right.
But if you're given the appearance of a witch, if you're given the appearance of a ghoul, if you're given an appearance and you're making a mockery of that satanic world,
right,
like that, then you are breaking. You have broken three principles to do that.
And
you have to break those three principles.
Why would a Christian do that? Or why would a Christian want to do that?
Right.
Why would they hold their testimony in as such a light matter? To do that, even if, you know, everybody wants to joke around and it's good to joke around and have a good time, but why would you joke around with your testimony? You know, it's just like Christians, you know, you see it all the time now. You know, it's like guys that they're goofing and they'll, you know, you even see it in some of these churches and skits where these guys would put dresses on.
Oh, I saw that stuff. Yeah.
And it's the same exact thing. Like, what are you doing, man? The whole push of society is androgyny, and you're going to, you know, this is how the sods have taken control, and you're, like, playing into their scheme.
You know, over and over again, 8 times we're told in the New Testament to be sober.
Yeah, amen.
And we're told that because this is a war, and that 8 is the number of regeneration, and this is a war.
Amen.
You know, so we need to understand that. All right, I'll continue on here because we purpose don't want these to be too long, this show. We want it to be a blessing to you. We want you to be able to listen to it and sit down even with your family and listen to it.
Amen.
You know, this is family friendly. This is not going to go too far. Halloween also glorifies death with all the skeletons, skulls, tombstones, and ghosts used as decorations, as well as costumes of zombies, vampires, skeletons, and the like. The Bible says about wisdom and about God, that all they that hate me love death. All that hate God love death.
Yeah.
When someone has an interest or an appetite for these things, it's because deep down in their heart, there's a love for death. When someone loves death, it reveals that the real problem is hatred for God who inspired the scriptures. Mm-hmm. When someone glorifies and celebrates death and devils, they are calling evil good. There's a judgment pronounced upon those who do that. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So that's the fourth principle right there. Fourth thing that God says. He says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. You know, God pronounces a woe. That's a judgment on those that take lightly what he says, that take lightly his commands and say, you know what? It's not that big of a deal.
Mm.
You're calling it evil good when you participate in something that God expressly forbids you to avoid even the appearance of.
Amen.
So that's another principle that we have to take and say, you know what? I believe if I celebrate Halloween, I have to break that principle.
Amen.
And that's not good. You know, I bring the judgment of God upon me. Now, if you're saved, no, God's not going to take your salvation away. But as a son, he's going to chasten you, Hebrews chapter 12. He's going to chasten you, and he's going to deal with you as with sons.
Yeah.
If he doesn't, the Bible says, no, you bastards and not sons.
That's right. And his chastening is perfect. God knows how to discipline his children, and his children respond to his chastening.
Absolutely, they do. Halloween is about darkness and fear. If you name the name of Christ, the Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. And as for darkness, the Bible says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord God. Touch not the unclean thing. Listen, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, and we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but we're to reprove them.
Amen.
Right? So here's a fifth principle that we could say. All right? A fifth principle here that you have to break is having fellowship. The Bible, well, actually, it's a command, too, but I mean, having fellowship with unrighteousness.
Yeah, amen.
Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of what? Darkness.
Yeah.
But rather, reprove them.
Right. And this is why trunk or treat doesn't work.
Exactly.
This is
we're going to get into that. We're going to ask that question. Is that a viable replacement?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
No, no, that's okay. That's all. That's quite all right. It doesn't matter. I mean, hey, it's going to come on either way in the show. So we want people to understand that. But, you know, we can answer that now. Is it a viable? Well, does it break one of the principles?
Right.
Ask yourself that question. Does it break one of the principles? Well, it doesn't avoid all appearance of evil. It still has fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. See what I mean?
Yeah, you're taking pagan practices and you're going to take those practices and try to Christianify them. You know, it's
Christianized paganism.
It's basically pure Catholicism. You know, that's the Catholicism concept. It's like we're going to take all this paganism and we're going to Christianize it. So instead of dressing up like Frankenstein, you're going to dress up like Padre Pio or something. And it's still the same thing. And Padre Pio was the devil, just like Dracula or whatever. But you know, it's like you're going to dress up like a saint or you're going to dress up like an angel, you know, and you'll have a girl dressed up like an angel and girls aren't, you know, they're not even feminine. And, oh, same thing.
No, absolutely not. So what we see is that there's principles that are still going to be broken by doing that. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience, the Bible says. My messages come through and they ping really loud. I got a new Mac, so I haven't figured out how to shut that off yet. I got to do that. I don't know if you're hearing that come through or not, but
just barely. Yeah.
Okay. So if you hear a ping on there when you listen, sorry about that. Okay, the Bible says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." You know, in there's events that we've preached at before. And one is called the zombie pub crawl. And at the zombie pub crawl, they all walk around and act like zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And they glorify evil. And I have been there before, and there are people that would tell you that they are Christians there. Oh, we're just having fun.
Yeah.
Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Right? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? Then stop walking in darkness.
Amen.
Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Go ahead and pick that up right there, Brother Jim.
These commandments are not meant to take away our fun, but for our protection. God's word says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. By partaking in activities so strongly associated with devils, witchcraft, and death, you are literally inviting devils and giving them a foothold into your life and taking down the walls of protection that God has given.
Amen. You know, here's the thing you have to understand, okay? The veil is very thin that day. It's a very satanic high day. The veil is very thin between the worlds. You see in the month of October, you'll see a lot of demonic rise.
Yeah.
You know, wicked things. There's always an October surprise, right?
Yeah.
I wonder why that's October, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Right?
Satanist be Satanist.
Right, that's exactly right. So they understand these things, and we know you don't understand this, and you're not trying to call up devils. We understand that. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that you're having fellowship with them, and you're inviting that particular behavior on. The Bible says to consider the effects that this has on children as well. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Amen.
There's another principle that, you know, that you need to pay attention to. That would be a sixth one, I guess you could say.
Right, and that speaks right to the whole trunk or treat thing. Like, are we supposed to teach our kids, like, oh, wait a second, if we take this worldly thing and we just repackage it, you know, if we take this piece of poo and we shine it real good and maybe spray a coat of lacquer on it, and then spray some potpourri on it. I mean, it's still a piece of poo.
A turd is a turd.
Yep.
I think somebody used to say you can't polish a turd.
No, no, you cannot. And that would be trunk or treat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm going to read one more verse about that. Then we're going to just get into that because I don't, you know, one of these things, the Bible says the end of all these things is this, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So those that lead children astray, the Bible says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Mark 9:42. So if you teach your children these things, then you are violating another scripture principle. You're leading children astray. Yeah. You're teaching them compromise in their life. If they go to church on Sunday, go to Sunday school and do all this, and then you haven't partaken in a Christianized version or something of Halloween, what you're doing is you're teaching them compromise.
Yeah.
But the Bible says, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Right?
Amen.
We're to hate evil, and when we love the Lord. So those are like six or seven principles there that the practice of Halloween violates. Now, the next thing that we ask is a good question, I believe. And that question is this, Brother Jim. How do I deal with Halloween? How do I deal with it as a Christian that has been practicing it for upteen years? My children are at different stages and ages. And if I've been practicing it, how do I deal with it? What do I do to stop it? First of all, I have to be obedient to God. I have to determine that. I guess the number one thing we would say is obedience to God.
Amen.
I have to obey God. If everything that I just showed you was true and told you out there that it was true, then your response should be, number one, to repent, and number two, to do right.
Yeah, and honestly, if the Lord's revealed it to you, it's a great opportunity, actually, one, to present the gospel, two, to just give a testimony of what the Lord's doing in your life. And, I mean, and this tract is kind of like a perfect example. This is one way you could approach it, you know, is you could review this tract with these verses in there and these different principles. And, I mean, that would serve twofold. You know, one, it would, explain it to others and they in turn might be convicted by the Holy Spirit and repent of it. But two, it's just going to give you an opportunity to present the Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. So, you know, when we're dealing with our own children with this and we have to sit down with them, we have to say, you know, children, we were wrong and we shouldn't partake in this evil. We're to avoid the appearance of evil. Go through that and explain to our children, say, children, we're not going to be a part of that anymore. Now, that's pretty much how you deal with your children. Now, you're going to have a varied response. If your children are not saved and you have not taught them to follow the Word of God in their lives, and the Word of God is their rule of faith and practice, it's the way we live. If you've not taught them that obedience to the Lord, then, you know, you've got your work cut out for you. You have to always talk to your children, make sure there's no bitterness in their heart towards these things that you institute. A lot of times what happens is a father will come in and be like, oh, it's all wicked. It's all wicked and you can't partake in this evil. And they start burning the movies and they march them out there and they just, I'm not saying it's wrong to burn the movies or anything like that because we did ours. We shot all ours. But you know what? You got to explain it to your children, too. You got to teach them, and you got to find out what's in that heart of theirs.
Amen.
Make sure their heart is not holding on to bitterness because these things have been let go of, because they had to walk away from these things. Because your children are going to have to obey their parents.
Right. And if you don't explain it to them, this is how we do it, and there is no – what did I always hear? What was it? One of the – see, what did he say? There is no try, it's do or die or something. You know, these guys that want to rule with an iron fist, I don't have to explain why, you just do it, you know, and that's foolish because that's going to make your kids bitter. You're not supposed to.
Well, it doesn't teach them anything either.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, yes, there's time there's a time when children in emergencies, where children just need to obey, right. And you'll explain it to them later.
Yeah.
But there should be that explanation.
Amen.
Because we're teaching them to critically think and discern things.
Amen. Logic and reason.
Exactly. If we're not teaching them that,
amen.
Then we're teaching, what are we going to teach? A bunch of blind, numb, dum-dums that just do what they're told because authority says so, not because there's any basis for it.
There's very little logic and reason left in society.
And that's because it's not taught.
That is exactly right. The parents have failed. You know, they've allowed the babysitter and the television and the daycare and the public school propaganda machine. They've allowed all those satanic systems to program their child, and all of those systems are void of logic and reason, period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what we want to do is we want to sit there and explain it to our children and say, listen, this is why. Okay, let me show you why. Let me show you why this dishonors God. And our life is to honor the Lord. Yeah. Now, the first person you're going to have to get on board at the family with this besides yourself as dad is mom.
Yeah.
Mom's got to understand this. So you don't need to take out the Baptist bazooka and blow mom's head off with it. But
right.
You sit down and say, Mom, honey, this is what we need to talk about. And you sit down and you show her plainly from the scriptures what the Bible says. And John chapter 10 says that God's children will hear his voice. And when he teaches, when you show them the word of God, I'm not talking about your voice. I'm talking about you showing them the Bible. This is God's voice. The word of God is God's voice right here.
Yeah.
And his sheep know him and they follow him and he gives unto them eternal life and they'll know his voice. And I believe that on issues like this, especially that, you know, if you get the word of God in there, you go through these principles we showed you here from the word of God, I believe they'll listen.
Yeah. Amen. And another thing is too, is if you want to teach this to your wife and teach this to your family, you better have your act together.
Yes.
You know, I've talked to a lot of guys, you know, and they want to scream at their wife and call her a Jezebel while they're farming her out. You know, they got her out bringing home the bacon,
mm-hmm.
and they want to scream at her and we're not doing Christmas and all this stuff. And here they're surfing porn at night. They're mm-hmm. not eating one. They're not bringing home the bacon. They're not providing
right.
for their family. They're worse than an infidel. And then they want to scream at their wife about how they're not going to do Halloween and that's Satan's holiday. Well, guess what, buddy? Like, you better take an account. You better consider your ways. You better have your act. Nobody's saying you have to be sinlessly perfect to teach your family, but you better not just be an openly hypocritical person.
Quit living like a devil on your own and getting caught with pornography. I've had these people call me, and they took all the teachings that I ever taught on against sin and things like that, and they use them against their wife, and they come to find out they're not even sleeping with their own wife. They're watching pornography. They're doing all these other things.
It's a cloak.
It's a cloak that cannot cover. And, you know, it's funny because then what happens is, you know, the message gets rejected and
right.
people turn me into some kind of animal or mean guy. They don't want to listen to me. And I'm like, what did I do? All I did was bring the truth to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, but there's a good reason for that. It's because, you know what, if you don't do right, your family's going to reject that message.
That is right.
Okay. Yeah. So live right. Okay. Don't be telling your wife about taking the kids trick-or-treating when you're not even providing, sitting on the couch being lazy, watching porn or something like that, living like a devil, not living up to your obligations and being a father to your children, and then you find a hobby horse to jump on, so you want to jump on Halloween
and
beat your wife over the head with it. Don't do that. That won't end well. Truth. No, and it won't go well, and it won't be received, okay? So I say that in love to you. Please don't do that. Please.
Yeah.
Please live for God. Please don't be a phony like that and then get, you know, your wife all messed up and everything with that and just come down on the kids so hard that the only time you ever spend with them is when you're railing on them.
Right, exactly.
Something like that instead of being a father to them, okay?
Amen.
So that's important. Next, we'll talk about how do we deal with the grandparents and others. Well, listen, you got to deal with love.
Yeah.
Okay? Remember, love is our aim. When you see my sermons and you see me preach up there, I am preaching from the pulpit with the authority of the Word of God to preach and to stand before the people of God, to lift up my voice like a trumpet and to do this. When you see me on the street corner, it's to cry aloud, spare not. When I deal with people one-on-one, I'm not sitting there in a room with them screaming at them.
Amen.
I don't sit with my wife and yell at my wife. Okay, I don't sit with my children and yell at them unless they're, you know, going to get hurt or, you know, whatever. Right. But, I mean, you know, that's the normal practice of explaining something to my family is not to scream at them. Okay, right. It's not to get on the bully pulpit and do that. It's not – there's different approaches. When I'm dealing with grandma and grandpa, the first thing I'm not going to say, look, you're a bunch of devil worshipers. You're not getting around my kids. You're not giving them any of that wicked candy. You wicked devils, stop dressing like Dracula, and you look like a Jezebel whore. No, that's not how we deal with things, okay?
It's true.
It's funny, but, you know, we already know that we've seen it before.
Yes, yeah.
You know, so, you know what? Your grandparents aren't participating in Halloween because they want to corrupt your children and turn them into devils. At least I don't think so anyway. The average grandma and grandpa just want, like to see their kids, their grandkids dress up and look cute. Yeah. And they want to give them candy and spoil them rotten. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, and we have the in-laws in right now, you know, and they do all that stuff and they do Christmas and all that stuff. But they know where we stand with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just kindly explained it. And they placate us.
Sure.
They do attempt to resist it indirectly, you know, just because, you know, for one, okay, your grandparents, they're older people, right? They've lived their life. Mm-hmm. They've done everything. Most of them, that previous generation was one of the last relatively legit generations. They actually provided, usually the wife stayed at home. So they put their money where their mouth was and they walked the walk and they talked the talk. Obviously they weren't perfect. You know, we're not even necessarily
saying.
But they
had character.
Right. They were character. So, you know, so now you can't punch them in the face with the Bible. You know what I mean? It's just.
No, what you do when you deal with them. You sit down with Grandma and Grandpa and say, Grandma, Grandpa, we're not going to celebrate Halloween anymore. You show them why.
Right.
And explain to them, I know Grandpa and Grandma, you're not devil worshipers. I understand that. And I understand your motives behind that. I get that. But we know it doesn't honor God. And we ask you to respect our wishes about that. And, you know, not to promote that with our children. And, you know, if, you know, you can buy the kids something anytime you want to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
But
and it gives you a great opportunity to present the gospel.
Amen.
Look, you know, the Lord saved us, and we want to honor and glorify him with our life. And that is really the main reason why we don't do it. Historically, let's take the historical background out of it. You know, it's our conviction that it doesn't honor and glorify God. You know, dressing up like a dead person, logically, right, doesn't honor and glorify God. And, you know, that's why we don't want to do it. And mm-hmm. you can respect that, can't you? And they always say, yeah. No unrational person is going to say, no, you know, I like my Frankenstein costumes. You know what I mean? They're going to – if you're reasonable, they're going to be reasonable.
Yeah, and I mean, just try to – you know, there's going to be various degrees of people's responses to it, but – with grandparents, with close family, you know, the last thing you don't need to make them feel like they're Satan incarnate because they're doing that. Convict them over the gospel, yes, of them being a sinner, but the least of their problems is Halloween.
Exactly. Amen.
All right. Their biggest problem is they're a lost sinner deserving hell, and they need to repent and believe the gospel. So, you know, if you get up there and start screaming and hollering at them and how wicked they are, they don't know what Samhain is. They don't know what any of that stuff is. All they know is you grew up doing it when you were a kid and you turned out fine.
Yeah.
That's what they know. But you know what? That's no reason for us to do anything wrong because something worked out. And by the grace of God, we didn't turn into a psychopath.
Yeah.
But, you know, so deal with grandparents like that. Deal with them kindly. Explain to them your wishes and the direction. And you know what? You don't got to get into all the gory details of Halloween,
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Just keep it simple, you know, and that's the best way for it.
And honestly, the people that want to do that and saw when and back in 1363, this witch slit the throat of all this stuff. I mean, right. Most of the time, that's just know-it-all stuff. Like, you don't need to know.
It's dramatics. It's to get the online following and the presence and all those other things and to show people how much knowledge you have about it.
Exactly.
Everything else.
Yeah.
You know, we already know what the Bible says about the dead. It says ye were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, why would I want to mimic?
Right. Amen.
Dead? Amen. I'm not dead anymore. I'm alive forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
By the grace of God. So, you know, let's just remember those principles, okay? You don't need to go through all those other things. Now, how do I deal with friends and people that are around me, coworkers, neighbors, all these other people? Well, be educated about it in the sense of have a biblical, this is perfect. You can hand them this and say, and give them this.
Exactly. Amen.
You know, give them this tract. I'll put the PDF of this tract on sermon audio.
Amen. Yeah.
So we'll upload it so you can have it. Give them this tract and say, you know, this is why we don't, okay?
Right.
I'm just asking that you respect our wishes on this. I know you're not devil worshipers or anything like that, but you know what? The truth is that it doesn't honor God, and, you know, that's our stand on it, and that's where we stand. And it gives the gospel.
Amen.
You know, the tract gives the gospel as well, and the law and the gospel to bring men to repentance and to show them their need. So, I mean, when you're dealing with family, explain it like that and friends. Don't explain it in a really kooky way to where, you know, and then they slit the throat of this, and then this happened, and then that happened, and then this happened, and that's why this is the head that stuck out. Look, all right, these people are going to look at you like you're nuts.
Yes.
You know, you don't need to do that. To explain.
Unless you're nuts.
Unless you're nuts, right. You might have to. I've met some of those. But you don't have to do that, okay? You don't have to get that deep into it. You know, you can explain that without, you know, without doing that. Now, what do I think about trunk or treat? We've already kind of covered that.
Yeah.
No, it's not a vile. You don't turn the church house into the same thing and open up trunks in the church parking lot and have all the kids do that because it's safer. It's not about being safe. It's about being right with God.
Amen.
It's about avoiding all appearance of evil, not replacing Halloween. I've heard people, well, let's have a harvest party and we'll all dress up like this. No, we don't need to do that. Why? No. We don't need to replace that. Teach your children that there's right and there's wrong. Good night. This is America, folks. We are so spoiled rotten. We don't need a day to have candy. We don't need a day to do this. We don't need a day. We are blessed beyond measure. Our children are not going to be any less socialized or traumatized by not celebrating Halloween.
Amen.
All right, they're not. They don't need it. They got enough stuff. They get enough. They live in a wonderful land, and they want to honor. And you teach them to honor God with their lives.
Amen. That's
I don't need a replacement for that.
No.
You know, for an evil day. I need to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works, but rather reprove them.
Amen.
Mimicking them or trying to Christianize them is not reproving them.
And honestly, if you're in a fellowship and everybody loves each other and you're fellowshipping and spending time with one another and breaking bread with one another, you know, you don't need some stupid excuse for some trunk or treat thing to fellowship.
Oh, my goodness, no.
You can get together and...
Every Sunday we get together all day. We're here all day. And we spend the whole day together. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
And that's how it is in the work that the Lord is doing down there. That's what you do. You spend all day together, don't you?
Right.
Why? Because it's the Lord's day. You spend it together, fellowship. It's not, you don't got to pull teeth to get somebody to do that.
No. Amen.
You know, they want to do that. They want to serve the Lord. They want to do that work. They want to be together. And you don't need a reason for that. People that need a reason for those programs, it's because there's no heart.
Yeah. It's because they don't want to come, and you need to entice them.
Exactly.
They need a gimmick. It's a gimmick.
Goats need entertained.
Yeah.
Sheep are fed.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, so we don't need to do that. Follow those things. You know, I'm just trying to think if there's anything, any other aspect of this that, you know, we haven't really covered. I think that's pretty much it, though.
Everything.
Yeah, I really think so. I mean, it's very simple. You know, don't make an excuse for it. And, you know, maybe at work, maybe they have a Halloween party at work.
Right.
Okay, some work has that, you know, how do I deal with that? Well, I mean, if it's mandatory that you have to go to work, I wouldn't dress up for anything, and I wouldn't glorify sure. anything, and I wouldn't put any costumes on, and I wouldn't yeah. do that. I would just tell people, you know what? It's against what I believe in the Bible. Give them this. Give your boss this.
Yeah, amen.
Why not?
Yeah.
Just tell them, this is where I stand on it. I'll come because I'm an employee and you asked me to, if it's mandatory and I have to, but I'm not going to celebrate anything. I'm not going to dress up. I'm not going to act like that, you know? I don't know if bosses make people do that. Not anymore.
They don't make people do anything.
Yeah. I don't know. So I was just speculating because I'm not yeah. sure anymore how that works. But because I haven't had to deal with that. But
Muslims have fixed all that stuff. Like
yeah, the Muslims don't have to do that, right?
They don't have to do anything. So no,
they're spooky enough. So their yeah. costumes are really spooky. Yeah. But I mean, you know, just so dealing with those things. If you're in a church that's practicing and celebrating Halloween. Yeah, I wouldn't go when they're doing that. I mean, I probably wouldn't go to that church, to be honest with you. You know, if you can't sit down and reason with them and say, you know, Halloween is of the devil. I mean, this is pretty obvious. Well, that's not why we're doing it. I understand we already covered that objection. We know you're not doing it because you want to worship the devil. But you're also disobeying Scripture by not avoiding right. all appearance of evil.
Right.
There's seven principles you have to... You have to ignore
and violate
Halloween and violate
yeah.
to practice Halloween. So I hope this helps you a little bit here. This isn't meant to be long. I hope it helps you. I hope it helps you understand the issue, and it better helps you how to deal with Halloween. How do I deal with it? And, you know, the truth about it and how do I deal with it? And, you know, let me finish it by saying this. If you've listened all the way through this and you're here listening and you're not saved, well, you know what? Your biggest problem is not that you dress up like a ghost. Your biggest problem is that you're lost.
Mm-hmm.
And you're on your way to hell. And you deserve to go to hell. And the Bible says that except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and for the wages of sin is death. So for your sin, you deserve to die. You deserve to go to hell for all of eternity. You've broken God's law. If you've offended one thing in God's righteous law, you're guilty of it all.
Yeah, amen.
And the Bible says that the law is to be preached so every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Guilty, dead in trespasses and sins. You're like those zombies. You're dead. You're walking right. zombies.
Yeah.
Dead in trespasses and sins. But Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life, and then died on the cross for your sins. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And if you repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you turn from your sin and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can, by the grace of God, turn from your sin and believe the gospel today and be saved. And then you'll be a new person. Old things will be passed away, and all things will become new. That's your greatest need,
that's
the need of the hour. So we pray that you'll get saved. We pray you'll turn to Christ and call out to him for salvation, and he'll change you and make you a new creature. And that's really why we're here. That's why we do what we do.
Amen.
So you can know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, the Bible says. All right, Brother Jim, I think that's it. Do you have anything to add at all?
No, it's good, brother.
All right. Brother Jim, this is Pastor Cooley with OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota.